So today, what I'm going to do is talk about the Trinity. I'm not a theologian, you'll be pleased to know. It's not a subject that I would study regularly, but I think it's important on this Trinity Sunday that we recognize that we celebrate and we honor God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I know not everybody has the same understanding of the Trinity. We know that certain religions or certain Christian groups believe in something different. We know the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in the Trinity, but we do, and we rely on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And a verse that we read in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, if you've got Bibles there, it'd be good just to have a look at these words together. I'll be moving around a little bit. I think I'll explain about the Trinity, then we'll take a break, more worship, more prayer, and then I'll finish off. So we know when to start here. If you've never been here before, we never quite know when to finish. But there we are. That's does that help? Probably not. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." There we see the harmony of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, working together. It is a great theological mystery, the Trinity. As I say, I'm not a theologian, but what I can say is that the Bible is full of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Right from the beginning of time, the Spirit hovered over the earth. We see that in Genesis 1. And we, of course, know that Jesus was born of Mary, God's Son, and it's one that we worship today. Each of the Godhead is fully God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And whether we fully accept it or not, we believe it by faith. And it is by faith, because to try and explain it is quite difficult. I mean, Jenny's little knotted friends there have helped us today. But many think that because we talk about one God, we don't necessarily agree with the Trinity, but we do, and we underline it, we underscore it today. And it's interesting to note that in John 14:9, Jesus, when he was asked by Philip said, "Show us the Father." And Jesus said, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." And so we see the manifestation of God through Christ and the love of God being demonstrated through his presence with us. So Trinity Sunday is a very special day in the life of this church and other churches too. It's a week after Pentecost, and we thank Jenny for these doves that have landed and are continuing to hover. The birth of the church was formed at Pentecost, and today we're asked to honor the mystery of the Godhead. It's interesting that looking at some references in Scripture, that the harmony of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit was there even before creation came into being as God spoke. They lived in perfect harmony, and they still do today. The Father is the fountainhead of the Trinity. He's the creator. He is the firstborn, the first cause over everything. He's the priority. He is the one who gave us Jesus and the one who demonstrates his love toward us, that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we read that in Scripture. But I just ask you to go to Genesis if you can. It's the first book of the Bible. Well, you know that. Genesis chapter 1. And reading from verse 26. And this is very familiar to us. And I want you to notice that in verse 26 of Genesis 1, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and of the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that now move along the ground. We see the harmony of God working in the creation of mankind, and made in the image and the likeness of God, in the harmony of God working together. No other human being, even the magic of AI today, can ever produce humankind. Well, whether you looked in the mirror or not this morning, some of us look as though we may not have spent too much time in the mirror, but you would see, as the psalmist said this, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. But the Bible says here that we've been made in the image and in the likeness of God. I want us just to think about that for a moment. We were all born, of course. But God created from the dust of the ground a human being. Just think about that for a moment. And if any of you, and I'm sure I look out and I see a number of you, have been to a hospital and you've had certain treatments done, you'll see how wonderful our bodies really are. It's just wonderful to know that we can, most of us can hear reasonably well, we can see, we can speak, we can function. To think that God created us from the dust of the ground, isn't that amazing? Just think, you're an amazing person. Just say to yourself, I'm an amazing person today. Oh, go on, just say it. Is it only me that's full of pride this morning? And the fact we're made in the image and likeness of God is very interesting, because that Hebrew reference there, image and likeness, is the fact that God sculptured us. He carved us. He made us. Individual. Isn't it amazing? We're individual. Our fingerprints are all different. Our DNA is all different. Amazing. You know, I know that some people are very keen on AI. I know at least one person is. But AI is brilliant, but can't create human beings, because God is the creator. And it's not just God's deliberate plan to create us, but we're patterned after him. We're given dignity. Isn't that wonderful how things have been turned upside down now? How mankind is destroying itself by accusing it for doing certain things in the way that they see them doing. On this Trinity Sunday, it's good to remember that we're Trinity as well, because we are spirit, soul, and body. I'll talk about that a bit later on. But I just want to just consider the fact of God the Father for this moment. We pray in our Lord's Prayer this morning, we address God, we honor him, we respect him. We worship Jesus because he's the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we rely on the Holy Spirit to enable us to do things that we couldn't do normally. And I don't know whether you're an Arsenal fan. I'm certainly not. I know they lost last night, but they've won the championship or the premiership. And one of their supporters says, "We have everything." Well, you don't, because we have everything. And just to think that God is for us, who can be against us? That we have at our resource God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, every moment of every day, because he's omnipresent. He's always with us. We can never hide from him. The psalmist said, even if I go to the far side of the sea, there you are there with me. We're never alone, hallelujah. And those that live alone, I can assure you, you're never alone, because God is present with you. And when we talk about Jesus, we recognize him as the one who was born of Mary, who lived among men, who ministered, who gave his life a ransom for many. The physical death of dying on the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rode away. It's only through the cross of Jesus Christ that we can be saved. There's no other name under heaven given unto men by which we can be saved, but by Jesus. And then, of course, we have the Holy Spirit, the one who comes to fill us anew. And we pray that the fire of heaven will burn in our hearts today. We celebrate the Trinity. Let's just reflect now on our own lives in the context of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All the resources of heaven are at our disposal. When we reach out to God, we know that we reach out to one who loves us with a never-ending love. As the psalmist said, even before I say a word, you know it completely. You know when I sit, you know when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You know what I'm going to say before I say it. These things are too wonderful. And the Christian believer has access to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have it all. We have all of God. Hallelujah. We honor you, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We read in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, or is it 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23, we read these words, may your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that your spirit, your soul and your body, one being. What's more important to us this morning? Is it our body, what we look like, how much money we have, what car we drive, the families we have, the friends we have? Are we more concerned about our spirit, our soul? I think there was an advert by L'Oreal that said this, because you're worth it. And ladies, you are worth it. You look so much better for it. In 2026, it's been estimated we will spend $14 billion on personal care. Now, that's £184.06 per person. Most of the men would spend the sixpence, and the ladies would spend the 184. But that's what we'll be spending in 2026. And health and well-being be 20 times that, at $280 billion. Now, of course, it's important that we look after ourselves, and it's important that we celebrate the NHS. And we, all of us here, can say we thank God for the NHS because, you know, the NHS has helped us in so many ways. But our body is just an emboldenment of who we really are. The person you are is your spirit and your soul. That's what God sees. When God chose David to be king of Israel, he said to Jesse, man looks at the outside appearance, but God looks at the heart. God is looking at your heart today. Now, I know when we were young, we were, particularly when there was thundering lightnings and God is angry with you and all that kind of thing, but the fact that God is searching your heart and examining your mind is a powerful thing. And that's why I think it's true that when we come to confession, we mean it. We say, Lord, we're sorry. We repent of our thoughts, the things we've said, the things we've done. We repent of our own Christian ways at times. Because that's where we need the healing. That's where we need the restoring. But that's who we really are. The spirit, the soul that only God knows about. And of course you know about too. You see, the spirit and the soul is the only aspect of us that is eternal. You know, the Bible says that we brought nothing into this world and will take nothing out. Naked we come, naked we go. And we know how true that is for us that have had funerals. But when Solomon was writing his diary of Ecclesiastes, when he was weighing up all the aspects of life, he came to this conclusion. Ecclesiastes 12:6. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken. Before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well. And the dust returns to ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. You know, one day we all have to give an account of our lives to God. As believers, we have to give an account of how we treated the Lord Jesus Christ in our daily lives. Isaiah 55 says these words, and it's God speaking to a nation that needed to hear something really truthful and hopeful that would encourage them during a great time of rejection from their own land. They're in exile. It says this, why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? I think on this Trinity Sunday, as we think of ourselves, it's a time of examining how we do spend our time, how we do spend our money. How much do we invest in our spirit and soul? How much do we invest in the things of God rather than the things of this world? We can't take it with us. And so we honor God in three persons today. But we also respect that our spirit and our soul is precious in God's sight. You know, when Jesus was confronted with Nicodemus, this leader of the religious group at that time, he didn't understand what it was to be born again. He said, well, do I have to go back into my mother's womb again? And Jesus said, you must be born from above. You must be born again. You know, it's a phrase we don't hear very much of today. We did years ago. Are you born again, brother? People used to say to me. That's mainly the brethren people used to say that, but anyway. But Paul speaks about the Christian as being born from above as a new creation, created in Christ Jesus for works of service. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We used to sing a song, I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Remember that one? I am a new creation. Thank you, Helen. Here, by the grace of God. But anyway. I wish I hadn't started that, but there we go. But we thank God that for us who believe in Jesus Christ are new creatures in him, new creations, able to talk to God at any time, able to have the fellowship of the Spirit at any time, able to do things we never thought possible because Christ is with us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. We have more than anybody else who doesn't know Jesus.